is persistence of impenitence. David had robbed himself of the joy of salvation, of the peace that God gives us through his loving forgiveness. He had all the things that should have made him happy. He had immense wealth. He was a man who possessed great power, probably the most powerful man in the world at that time. He was an individual whose fame spread far and wide as his endeavors, endeavor after endeavor, were successful. All the things the world would say should make you happy. Money, power, fame. But he wasn't. He was miserable in his soul. Miserable, because as he wrote in Psalm 32, your hand was heavy on me, my strength is sapped as in the heat of the summer, because he felt the righteousness of God looking at him and seeing how imperfect, how far he had fallen short of all that God required of him, just as we confessed earlier in our confession of sin. Have you been there? Have you been there like David? Where your conscience so troubles you that maybe you feel at best uncomfortable, at worst miserable? Felt the sin in your life, that you know what God says, and no matter how hard you try, you're not able to come up to that standard? Or maybe it's that one sin that just comes in and slams into your life, and with the weakness that we have, we just fall to it. It's the conscience that says, can't call God your father. Your God is a judge. A judge that you can't count on his love, because he loves people who are like him. Instead of his love, he's going to show his face of anger against you. And when you read and think about where God promises, I am with you, our conscience says, that's not a good thing. If he's with me, he sees me, he knows me, he sees my sin. We want to be more like Adam and Eve, that when God came to them after they sinned, they wanted to run away, and they did, ran away and hid from him. Yeah. We've been there like David. Restore to me the joy salvation. When we're at that point, when we long for that joy to be restored to us, let's listen closely to the word that God has for us today. Because in his word today, he wants to assure you, you who are baptized in the name of the triune God, that he has given you joy in your heart, just as the jailer and his family had. This all took place on the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. On the first missionary journey where Paul and Barnabas went, they established congregations in the province of Galatia. Those are the congregations that Paul later wrote the book of Galatians to. It was Paul's plan on the second missionary journey to revisit those congregations, and he did. Now with a new partner in mission work, Silas, his plan was to go north in a place called Bithynia, into Asia, continue on in Asia. But the Holy Spirit vetoed those plans, and in a dream, made it very
place for them or for their city, and the evil spirit would be able to reveal that. And so they were willing to pay a lot of money. But as that slave girl followed Paul and Silas, she kept crying out for days at a time, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." After a while, Paul became very perturbed by her behavior and what she was saying. Then he turned to her and said to the Spirit, "Come out of her." And through the power of Jesus, it did. But now, the source of income for the owners was gone. And obviously, they were very upset. So, they incited a mob against Paul and Silas, accusing them of these foreigners coming and ruining their society and their way of life. They dragged them off to the leaders of the city, to the magistrates, and the magistrates had them flogged, whipped, and thrown into prison. Their feet put into stocks and hands. was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. How interesting. You've seen pictures of the devastation that earthquakes can cause, major earthquakes. A building foundation is cracked, some so badly that it causes the building to collapse, and people scurrying around seeking to rescue people who may have been trapped under all of that rubble. But this earthquake was different. This earthquake wasn't there to destroy. This earthquake wasn't there to break down walls. This earthquake was to break open the doors of the prison and to break loose the shackles that held the hands and the feet, not only of Paul and Silas, but the other prisoners as well. It was a natural act of God, yes, but one that he brought forth to accomplish his will in a miraculous way, a unique earthquake all in itself. But there was even a greater purpose. Not just to break loose the chains and break open the doors, but to break through. To break through the hopelessness of the man who was put in charge to guard all of those prisoners, the jailer. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. There would have been great shame on him and his family if it became known that he failed in his duty to guard the prisoners, even in that extreme situation. No excuses. And at best, that shame, at worst, he would have been punished, maybe even executed. So, to prevent that shame or facing such great shame, he determined he was going to kill himself on the spot. He drew his sword, ready to run himself through, and Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here!" The jailer came rushing in, not wielding his sword, threatening the prisoners and commanding them to get back in their cell. He came in trembling and fell at the feet of the Apostle Paul and pleaded with him, "What must I do to be saved?" You see, he was literally afraid of dying. He was afraid to stand before God. He had heard all of some of the singing and the prayers. He had seen the reaction of Paul and Silas as they were calm and courageous in spite of the unjust suffering that they had. And I got to believe that he was aware of the reason that they were there. The slave girl crying out, servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved? Saved? What must I do to be saved? He pleaded. Paul explained, "It's not what you do, but it's what's been done. Believe in the Lord Jesus,
what God